that, because it's about 20 odd degrees out there. It will be plus later anyway, so fantastic. It's just so lovely to, I think I need to put some sunglasses on actually. There's so much bright colours out here, and the ladies are looking, quite happy and pretty as well. So, but anyway, it's the glory of the Lord hopefully is filling this place, and I just pray that we'd all really feel his presence and be blessed by our time together this morning. Again, for I don't think there's anybody new here, but just to say that obviously our service this morning will contain some songs and prayers and some readings. We'll have a collection later on, and I'll talk more about that a little bit later. There's a sermon, of course, with Sue will be talking about back to normal. Well, that'll be interesting, because I've no idea what what is normal. But anyway, I'm sure we'll be enlightened later, and followed by communion. And of course, afterwards, there'll be served by tea and coffee. So please stay for some French and fellowship after that. So I'll just open the service in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this place. And thank you for your presence with us now and always. And Father, may our hearts be open to you. And may our hearts be open to receive from you, Lord, through the different media, Lord, through the perhaps the prayers, the words, just what we hear today. Lord, we just pray that we would leave this place later knowing that we've met with the living God and encouraged and uplifted. So, Father, have your way among us this morning, Lord. May your spirit just move among us, and may all our praise and our worship bring glory and honour only to you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, quickly, just the notices. Most of them are in the newsletter, which most people will have got via email, and some other people have a printed copy. So hopefully most of the news is there. Just to remind you that this is now Christian Aid Week, and obviously the focus is for help for Guatemala this year. And of course we have our own resident thrust, shall we say, of fundraising through Mark, and with his cycling up and down the beautiful hills and valleys, hills of Wales and Cumbria. And I mean, you could look forward to that, although it's all taking place down in Forgefield, so it's not quite as, we don't have to go very far to see him. And various times during the week, some morning, some afternoon, starting this afternoon. So I think it's at 2 o'clock, isn't it? I think so, from 2 o'clock onwards. So as long as he can keep going, pardon? I haven't got that far yet. Just wait a minute. Just hold on. Yes. I haven't got that far yet. No, but yeah, well, anyway, I'm sure we should be able to see the beautiful countryside as Mark speeds past the cars and things, judging by the film, because it's just taken from a car, which is quite entertaining. But yes, and also don't forget that there are plants for sale as well, which have been nurtured and grown and ready for your delectation to go and buy also for the funds. So anyway, please see Mark or Sue for any details of the times. I think summer morning, summer afternoons, and I've got confused by it all anyway, but I'll look at it before I come. But anyway, there's also some events at the Unity Methodist Church as well. Mind you, one of them I think was yesterday, but again, all that information is within the newsletter. And just to remind you that we have another messy church on the 31st of May, which is Let's Get Ready to Help Others. So preparations are already underway. And again, just value your prayers for that event, really. So it's been really building up of late. So it's hopefully the momentum will keep going. So that's to look forward to. Don't think there's any other notices, in which case we shall start our worship time now. So we're going to stand, if we can, and sing Blessed Be Your Name. I'm going to read from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. I hope this will be an encouragement for everybody. So again, it's just full of God's blessings and indeed his who he is really. So anyway, so Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, as people who regularly attend the Tuesday evening encounter meeting with God will know that when I lead, I often, not always, but often conclude it with this passage. It was Paul's letter to the Ephesian church written while he was in a Roman prison. In it, he reminds them and us of the fullness of God's love and power expressed through the life and sacrifice of Jesus to all of his family. So those of us who have believed in him and trust him for all our needs, and how his love is total and unconditional. He says it's wide, it covers the breadth of our experiences. It is long, it continues throughout all of our lives. It's high, it rises to the heights of our celebration and elation. And it is deep, so it reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, and grief. He also reminds us that God, although the creator of the heavens and the earth, knows each of us individually and intimately, so that when we ask him in prayer and in accordance with his will, he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So we need never be constrained with our requests, both for ourselves and others. So whatever our circumstances and feelings, we can be assured that we are loved by Christ and can always trust him to be here with us through the Holy Spirit within us and to help us to ultimately overcome and to be victorious. We've just sang the song, Blessed Be Your Name, reminds us that God's always with us in each and every circumstance. So maybe you always say, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Right, we're going to enter into a time now of worship. I'll begin by reading Psalm 138, and then we'll sing three songs, the final one of which you'll love to be is My Lighthouse. Big smile here. We'll take up the collection as well. So Psalm 138, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name. For your love and faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, may they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon me, the work of your hands. And we know that God will add that blessing to this reading from his word. So let's stand, if you're able, and sing the three songs. We start. You laid aside your majesty, followed by Mighty to Save, and then My Lighthouse. I say a third one, we will take up the offering. And of course, please let the bags pass you by. So for the work of the church and for the kids that we sponsor as well. So many people will let the bag pass because they give electronically anyway. So don't feel embarrassed. Okay, so stand and sing if you're able and sing to them.
Oh, my God, I'm Thank you.
Let's just pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you did lay aside your majesty and that you are mighty to save, that you are our lighthouse, which guides us back from the dark places, Lord, into your light. And Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you so much for your provision for us. And thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to give back some little token, Lord, of our love for you. And we pray, Lord, for that these monies will be used wisely for the work of the church, but also we pray your blessing upon the youngsters that we support around the world through Compassion and Open Doors. And Lord, again, we just pray that your light might shine in their darkness. So Father, again, we just want to thank and praise you for all your blessings, and may these offerings be acceptable and honouring to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, most people like to sit down, but this is the time when our youngsters will lead to go to Sunday school. So I'll just pray for them as well. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our youngsters. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on them now and the teachers as they leave to learn more about you. May you just inspire them, and may you just show them your love for them. And Lord, that may they again be just happy in your presence, Lord, and just really enjoy you in their lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're now going to have a time of prayer. Sue will be praying for the pastoral needs of the church after communion, or during the communion section anyway. So I'll just be more of a general sense here for the overall work of the church, and other things as well, perhaps the ministries that we support as well. So anyway, let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us individually and corporately. And Father, we just again thank you that even though you created the heavens and the earth and everything within it, Lord, you know us individually and corporately, Lord, and you just want to be involved in all that we do and all that we say. So, Father, we just pray that you would lead us and inspire us through your Holy Spirit so that we know that we are always in line with your will for us, your perfect will for us. Father, we thank you for this church, this fellowship, this body of people. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be able to purchase the Oasis building, Lord, debt-free, really, Lord. Thank you so much for the generosity that you've laid upon each of our hearts, Lord, to enable that to go ahead. And we do pray that the legal stuff would go as smoothly as possible so that we can take possession and move on with our plans, perhaps, Lord, for developing that, Lord, and for the ministries too. We thank you for all the ministries that take place within it. We thank you for the BAP and for TOTS and for Urban Saints when they visit. But also we pray for all those organisations that use it as well. May there be a real sense of your presence there, Lord. And may they just want to feel something of you, Lord, and perhaps want to know a bit more about you, Lord, especially those who don't yet know you as their Lord and Saviour. And we do pray for the guys upstairs as well. We pray that this transition of ownership would be smooth for them. They would not be anxious. They would not be worried about what the future might hold, Lord. May we be good landlords and do the right thing by them, and indeed, of course, by you. Father, we do pray for the period of interregnum. We pray that you would help those of us within the leadership and beyond, Lord, to continue the work of this church in a good progressive way, Lord, that we may not just stand still or indeed go backwards, Lord, that we would continue to move forward in your work and be sensitive to your leading as to what you want us to do. And of course, Lord, we do pray about the time where we have to choose a new minister. Lord, again, we believe that you've already identified somebody who you want to take us forward. And we just ask, Lord, that there will be a real meeting of minds, Lord, that will be very clear to ourselves and indeed that person, that they are your choice. And Lord, too, so that we can continue to bless us and to bless the people around as well. But of course, Lord, we do pray for Alistair and the family as they prepare for Alistair's retirement, Lord. We pray for all the logistics, Lord, and the complete change of lifestyle, Lord, that might involve. Especially, Lord, we do pray for the logistics of the purchase of the building with all its complications, Lord, in some ways. But Lord, may you smooth the way and make a way where perhaps there seems to be no way, so that they would settle in quickly and just enjoy that place and enjoy that new phase of their life, but continue to serve you, I'm sure. And Father, we do continue to pray for the organisations and the missions that we support. We do pray, continue to pray for Open Doors of the Persecuted Church, for Tekura with their work in Albania, for MAF, Lord, with their work around the world, and of course for Tear Fund. And there are others too, Lord. We do pray, Lord, for the, on a more local level, we pray for the food bank and the pantry, Lord. And Lord, for all the other things, for Prison Fellowship, Lord, and all the other organisations that various people within the church are involved with or are connected to. Again, may you work in and through them, Lord, to be a blessing to those who are in receipt of their services, Lord. And of course, we pray for our sponsored children, for Sidione, for Rahima, for Willian, Achen, for Key, William, and Laya, and of course, Hope, the unknown child through Open Doors. But Lord, we know, you know them, Lord, whoever they are and wherever they are. Lord, pray your blessing upon each one of them now. And Lord, we pray for our nation, Lord, and for all that's going on there. We pray for internationally too, Lord. We pray for peace in the world with all the complications and, Lord, with all the ranting and raving, Lord, in some ways that's going on, and all the politics, Lord. We just pray that your will be done and your kingdom would come in all of those situations. So, Father, we just bring all these things to you now. We pray your blessing upon them, each one, that, Lord, we pray that you will be glorified in each and every situation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, I'm now going to read the passage which Sue will be talking about in a short while. It's John chapter 21. Oh, sorry, the one thing I did forget to do, the Lord's Prayer at the end of it. Sorry, backtrack a bit. So, in fact, yes, please. Yes, actually, yes. So we will say the Lord's Prayer together in a sec. Yeah. Okay, so let's pray again. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, take two. I'm now going to read from John chapter 21 and the first 12 verses, which Sue will be speaking to us about. Try using a different formula. Oh, it's just my set of phone. AI is lovely. Talks at me. Right, anyway. So it's entitled, Jesus Appears to the Disciples While Fishing. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. I'm going to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood by the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of your fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. And we know that God will add his blessing to that reading from his word. So let's just stand and sing one more song, if you're able, of course. All I Once Held Dear, and after which I'll invite Sue to come and share God's word with us. Going to invite Sue to come up then, and I'll just pray for you. That's okay. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and thank you for the word that you've laid upon Sue's heart for us today. Father, may our hearts be open to you, to what you have to say to us through Sue. And Lord, may the words from her mouth be your words and not hers. So, Father, sustain her, we pray, and may this time be a blessing to all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh. Some of you know I've got sciatica. And I was grateful to those of you last week who volunteered to help next week, this coming week, with the Christian Aid bike ride, the plants and things. I'm also grateful to those of you who I know prayed for me this week because of next week. And I'm grateful to Will, my physio, who's a rugby player, for the exercises. And I'm grateful to my homeopath who sent me arnica and hypericum tablets for sciatica. And I'm grateful to my mother. No, I'm grateful to the NHS for paracetamol and ibuprofen. And I'm grateful finally to the National Grid for the power to heat my hot water bottle to sit on. And I'm grateful to God, who is in so many ways a healing God, because that's my list. Thank you, God. So I am here, drugged, quite legally, but actually almost pain-free. I don't know how long I can stand. So if the pain starts to come back, I shall sit down, but you will still hear me because I've got the microphone on, and I might pace the floor because moving around actually is easier. So that's a bit about where we come to this morning. The theme is returning to normal. Question mark? What is normal? Just before Easter, a friend of ours died, Alan. And Alan and his family, we have known for many, many, many years. And Alan was a very sort of big personality. He was a very interesting person, a very, in some ways, weird and strange person and wonderful. And I suppose the sort of person he was is summed up in that he arrived at his funeral in a wicker coffin, drawn on a trailer, because the car was his Lagonda, which he has had for many years. So he brought the Lagonda out with the trailer on the back, and there was Alan. The Lagonda has been with his wife and family to Asia and Europe for many years. And it is the family Lagonda. And everybody said, oh, how typically Alan to arrive in such a way. And Guy, who was driving the Lagonda, had to say to the funeral director, we were in Macclesfield Crem, which is hilly, when you go up the hills, will you go quite fast? Because I can't slip the clutch. On the Monday afterwards, I was thinking about Guy and Ned and Hal, his four boys, who are now men, of course. And I wondered what they were doing. Would Guy and Hal have gone back to their heavy engineering works in Cromford? Had Ned gone back to New Zealand? Were they back to normal? Well, of course they weren't back to normal. Their dad, that big, powerful figure, their dad had died. Their normal was never going to be normal again. It was going to be different. And I wondered what the disciples did between Jesus' resurrection and Pentecost. What was their normal? Do you think they expected just to go back to normal again? Well, they never did. They laid Jesus in the tomb. They went back to the upper room. There was the terrible Sabbath. And then what? Would they ever get back to normal again? Was it back to normal on the following Monday? No, of course it wasn't. Let's look at what happened and what we might learn from the disciples. After that terrible Sabbath, the women went to the tomb with their spices and linens to do what women did, to clothe the body for burial. And they met a figure dressed in white who said to them, "Why are you looking for Jesus here? He is not here. He is risen. Tell the disciples to go back to Galilee and Jesus will meet them there." That wasn't very normal for them, was it? And depending which gospels you read, the women were either too afraid to pass the message on, or they weren't believed, or some of them weren't believed, and Peter and John went to check up. John, it seemed, did at that point believe that Jesus was risen, although Peter wasn't sure. And then you've got Mary. She stands outside the tomb, weeping for the loss of her friend. And she gets a different message from the women, the other women. She isn't told off and sent away and told, "Don't look for him here, he is risen." It was at that very place that the risen Jesus met her. Outside the tomb, the very place of his burial. Was that back to normal for Mary? And the disciples in the upper room said they didn't go back to Galilee, as the women had said, yet, although they did, because we read the story. In the upper room, the risen Jesus appears to them, and they're all there except Thomas. Then later it appears to them another time, and Thomas is there with his doubts, "Unless I see the print of the nails." But is it normal then for them? Jesus sort of appeared and then sort of disappeared and they couldn't quite make it out. And those two on the road to Emmaus, still after the crucifixion, distraught and grieving for the events of that Friday, and they were joined by an unrecognized stranger who talked to them in a not very normal way. Nothing ever became normal again. There was a new normal about to begin, but each had a little bit of learning and discovering and recovering to do before they could firstly go to the lakeside in Galilee and finally at Pentecost begin their new normal. So I wonder what we can learn. For when our faith is shaken or our Christian life becomes too demanding or is simply not sure what's coming next, what can we learn about normal? First of all, the women were told, "He's not here, he's risen. Go back to Galilee. Go back to that time and that place and those events where you first heard the call of Jesus to follow him. Go back in your imagination to the important turning points in your Christian life, the points when suddenly light and truth dawned on you. Go back to the place where perhaps your faith took on new meaning. Or go back, like Peter, to the place of failure in his Christian life and find there Jesus welcoming him. And here again, the invitation to a new normal. Tell them to go back, and Jesus would meet us there. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Just revisit times of joy and enlightenment. Mary, however, isn't told to go back. As she stood by the tomb, in the here and now, Jesus was there. Not going back to some other time, but here and now, Jesus was there, For her, perhaps this was the place of the new normal, Jerusalem. We don't know where, we don't know much about Mary Magdalene. Perhaps her new normal was going to be not in Galilee or around, but in Jerusalem. Her new life was perhaps going to be based there. Sometimes we meet Jesus as we look back, and sometimes the risen Jesus meets us here and now in the present. One interesting thing, the disciples in the upper room, Mary in the garden, the couple going to Emmaus, didn't recognize Jesus at first. The risen Jesus wasn't normal. He wasn't part of the previous normal. He was somehow different. The disciples didn't know whether he was a figment of their imagination. Is he a ghost? I wonder how many times we've met the risen Jesus and missed him, didn't recognize him. Perhaps we met the risen Jesus in the words of a Christian friend, or in unexpected acts of unsolicited love and kindness, or perhaps in a sudden and unexpected sense of joy and peace and confidence. Perhaps we've witnessed the risen Jesus at work in the kindness shown to strangers in the food pantry. Perhaps when times of prayer are suddenly meaningful, or in a moment in Sunday worship, we suddenly are aware of ourselves as a community of God's people. Perhaps all these things speak of Jesus, but we miss them. Or we're reading the Bible or another book and suddenly it speaks in a new way with a new truth. The new normal this year might be to look out expectantly for the risen Jesus touching our lives in ways we don't expect and perhaps don't even recognize. Finally, they didn't recognize Jesus, but he did give them clues. He didn't just say, well, tough, you missed me. He gave the disciples clues. The disciples in the upper room thinking, was it a ghost or not? He says, have you got any food? Look, I'm eating. I'm not a ghost. I am real. I am me. I'm not the me that was before, but I'm as real as I was then to you. I can eat fish. And to Thomas, he doesn't say, you know, remember Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see the signs of the crucifixion. He doesn't say, well, that's not much good, is it? You haven't got much faith. He says, look, Thomas, you asked for the signs of the nail prints in my hands. Here they are. And Mary in the garden got a clue. The position of women in Jesus's time was interesting. I mean, they very largely served and were kept in the background and were unnoticed. Often in the Bible it says, one of the women, or the women went. And Jesus meets Mary on her own, in a very special way, gives her a clue. He says her name. She's not just one of the women. She is someone Jesus knows well. He treats her as an individual. as a real personal, in a real personal way, helping her to recognize him and the new normal which is about to dawn for her. She's not just anybody, she's Mary. And the two going to Emmaus, what clue did they get? They walked and walked and walked. They must have walked hours. I mean, it was 7 kilometres, wasn't it, to Emmaus? So that's more than an hour. And the stranger had talked to them about Jesus. Didn't recognise him. They invite him in because it was late. They prepare a meal. And as was customary in those days and in that culture, at the meal, he takes the bread and breaks it and shares it. And at that moment, they recognize him. The Bible says he took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. He was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Had they been at the Last Supper? Had they been watching, perhaps? Had they been at the feeding of the 5,000? Or had they shared the weekly Sabbath meal where the host takes the bread and breaks it and shares it? There was something about the breaking of the bread. And later we'll gather around the Lord's table and we'll take bread and break it and share it to remember Jesus' words before he died. This is my body broken for you. But perhaps today as we share the bread, like the travellers to Emmaus, our eyes might be opened in a new way, an unexpected way. May he be known to us today. So far away from Emmaus, in the breaking of the bread. For them, all that wasn't normal. They ran all the way back to Jerusalem to share the good news, only to find that the disciples already knew it, which was a bit of a downer. Back to normal? No, certainly not. There was nothing normal about the life between Easter and Pentecost. But they were told to expect a new normal. They were being taught to expect a new normal, to prepare for a new normal. They were told to wait until the new normal started at Pentecost. But that's a story for another day. Let us pray. Living Lord, as we now gather around your table, prepare us for a new normal. May we, like the travellers to Emmaus, recognise you in a new way in the breaking of the bread. Amen. We're going to sing again in a moment, so perhaps the music group would like to go back. Thank you. This is the table of the Lord. It's not the table of the church, it's his table. It's made for those who love him a little and who want to love him more. So come, if you have much faith and if you have little, if you have been here often or if you have not been here for a long time, if you have tried to follow and if you have failed, come. not because it is I who invites you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. So we sing, as your family, Lord, meet us here. Quiet moment of prayer and reflection. Perhaps a moment of confession, moment of joy and thanksgiving, moment of uncertainty or of a new certainty. So a few minutes of silent prayer. Living God, see us here and feed us with whatever food it is we need today. Amen. We hear the story. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And after supper, he took the wine and he said, "This is the wine, my blood of the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you, and give thanks." And every time you eat the bread and drink the wine, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again in glory. So we eat the bread as we receive it, because we are all individuals responding to God. After supper, they shared the wine. We're going to retain the cup. We'll all drink together when everybody's been served. Thank you. So together, because we are the people of God in this place, together we drink and remember. Living Lord, we gather into the fellowship of this table all those concerns and countries and issues and people for whom we would pray this morning, particularly those people of this congregation who need our prayers. Yes, them too. We ask God that you will bless them wherever they are and whatever they're doing today. Bless them in a special way in this coming week. And that you will bless us too, now and forever. Living God, hear our prayers. We bring them to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And we sing, "In Christ alone, our hope is found." In this.
Strength, my soul is full of strength.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the companionship and fellowship of his Holy Spirit go with us now and forever. Amen. Amen.